I tell you, God is doing something new in this place. He said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Will you not see it? I'm so excited about what God is doing here, Berean. The praise team, it seems like they just keep growing and growing and growing. The Lord brought Sister Tiana from Oakwood. She's one of our teachers here. And she said, man, I got to be a part of this praise team. Then the Lord brought Dr. Miller. She said, I'm back home. I'm coming back to the praise team. Then the Lord brought Sister Jackie. I think Jackie is the newest member. Amen, amen. Sister Jackie Willis, she said, Pastor, I can't sit on this. I got to come and show up and show out for Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for it. And then I heard that Brother Udall Miles, he said, I can't sit on this. I got to. And then Elder McCarter decided, I'm not going to let my wife be up there by herself. And he's part of the praise team. Where's Miss D? Did Miss D sing today? Oh, not today. Don't go on recess on me, Miss D. Amen. Come on, bless God for Miss D. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for his grace, his mercy, his benefits toward us. I heard that, now you don't call her this. I'm the only one that call her this. Big money is in the house. See, you don't even know who I'm talking about. Sister Caldwell. Come on, bless God for Sister Caldwell. She's been out dealing with some physical challenges, and we've been praying, and I am so glad that she's back. And I heard she brought her twin sister with her. Amen. Let's bless God for them. Amen. 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 God is good. We miss you, Sister Caldwell. We've been praying for you. And we thank God that you're back in the house. I heard that my buddy Q is in the house. Now you're wondering, who is Q? Quentin Jones. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for Q. I am just so thankful for all of God's people and what God is doing with them. Now, Brother Johnson promised me he was going to be here today. Byron, is Byron here? Okay, he said, he and I talked last night. He said, I've been doing a little visitation, but I'm coming home tomorrow. He said, I will try to be there. So we'll give him some wiggle room, you know. Yeah. When I didn't learn this in high school. I learned it in college. You know, when you go to college, I was telling somebody, I went to Oakwood. I was a little older, didn't go to school. When I shoot it right after high school, I get there, I'm about 26 years old, got a wife and a son, and the brain is not as crisp as it used to be. And I did a class with Miss Ramona Hyman. Don't tell Dr. Hyman I said this, but it was a paper that we wrote in that class, my freshman English 101 class. And when I got my paper back, I thought we were still doing sacrifices in the Adventist church because that paper had so much blood on it. I thought they had killed a cow on it. It was just red here, red there, red everywhere. And then she put a big old F and circle it. And And I went to Ms. Hyman and I said, "Doc, I said, what's going on here? What's all this red? I thought Jesus nailed it to the cross." She said, "Miss Wegard, you got good thoughts." She said, "But your grammar is out of place. You got run-on sentences and dangling participles, and you know you don't know what a subjunctive is, and your parts of speech is awkward, and so I pay more attention to my English, and I haven't got it perfect yet, but I learned that when somebody say I may come, I try to do everything I can to get there. Is a subjunctive. It means they might not or they might. And so I'm not going to box Brother Johnson in a corner today because he did leave himself some wiggle room. He used that subjunctive. Amen. If you came with your word, or if you brought your word with you, whether it's on iPad, a phone, I want you to stand with me and pick it up and hold it up in your hand and just repeat after me. I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the word of God, the authority of God. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together again and bless the praise team. Bless God for the praise team. They broke up our hearts for the word of God, and we just thank God for them. We are moving in our second phase of our theme for this weekend, repenting and submitting, the key to revival and restoration. How many people in here today believe they need a revival? Amen. What about restoration? Amen. 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 Last night we talked about the a necessary U-turn. A necessary U-turn. And we said that God has given us this ability to turn around, to change our minds, to decide to do something and then to decide to stop doing it. And what an awesome gift. The gift of choice and will that God has given us. Today, we're going to continue our theme under the rubric, under the title, the message, a necessary rebirth. It what, everybody? A necessary rebirth. And tonight, we will end with a necessary pursuit. A necessary pursuit. I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture as you stand in honor of God's word for us to read together. The first is found, and that is our theme text, and is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I believe our media people have it on the screen. Do they have it on the screen? Okay, if you see it, say, "I see it." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let us read together. And it reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will what? And forgive their sins and heal their land." Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, a preaching passage is taken from the Gospel according to St. John. the third chapter, and we're going to read together verses 1 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It should be on the screen. If you see it, say, I see it. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's read together. There was a man of the name Nicodemus. Keep reading. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a because no man can do the things that thou doest. Jesus and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come that your son, Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A necessary rebirth. In John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1 through verses 20, we are presented the minutes of an unofficial meeting that occurred between our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, the Bible tells us. And not only was he a Pharisee, but he was a Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrins were a group of people, 71 in number, that were Jewish religious scholars and served on the Jewish religious council. If you wanted to know anything about Abraham's God, if you wanted to know anything about how he interacted and the things he did with the sons and daughters, the posterity of the house of Abraham, you couldn't get it any better than you would get it from the Sanhedrins. These were scholars. These were religious leaders, gurus, if you will, who spend the better part of their times going through the scriptures and the scrolls, the prophets, the Torah, learning and being able to relate and explain all of the nuances and the details of Scripture. Nicodemus was a part of this group. But one thing that this text, these minutes, if you will, shares with us, beloved, is that all of us human beings have one thing in common, and that is to be loved, to be accepted, and to be respected by those we associate with. None of us wants to be rejected. None of us wants to be denied the company of those that we love. And Nicodemus was the same way. And so the Bible says, because of his connection in the society, because of his status in society, because of his fear of losing his status and losing his connection with people and places and things, though he understood by the prophetic writings that he had studied that Jesus, Yeshua, could have been the Messiah or had to have been the Messiah, Nicodemus was too embarrassed to come to Jesus in public. And so the Bible says that he came to Jesus by night. I don't know what Disney has to say about this, but I think this was the first episode of Naked at Night. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and I thank God that we serve a God who does not really mind what time and where we come to him. Is there two people in here who can testify and thank God that we are not restricted to a particular place and a particular time to come to Jesus? He has his hands wide open, and anytime we come to him, morning, noon, night, anytime we come to him, Jesus is ready to receive us. If you believe that today, somebody shout hallelujah. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And I don't have any problem with Nick coming at night. A matter of fact, I'm glad that I can meet my Lord anywhere. The songwriter says, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him in the morning. Call him at noon. Call him at night. Call him when you are happy. Call him when you are sad. Call him when you got money. Call him when you are broke. Call him when you are educated. Call him when you are ignorant. Call him when you are rich. Call him when you, aren't you glad that Jesus does not discriminate? He is an equal opportunity God for everyone. everybody. Call them when you are sinful and call them when you've been delivered and saved. I thank God that I can call them anytime. Somebody shout hallelujah. But here's the problem I got with Nicodemus. Like many of us, Nicodemus was trying to impress Jesus. He says to Jesus, he said, we know that you are a man sent from God because no man can do the miracles that you are doing. Wait a minute. You snuck up in here by yourself. And then you're talking about we. See, here is the problem that I have with Nicodemus. Not only is he ashamed to approach Jesus publicly, but now he wants to bring his rationale, his conclusion about who Jesus is based on what his friends, his colleagues, and the people that he hang out with conclude about Jesus. My brothers and sisters, if you and I are going to be repentant, if you and I are going to be submissive to Jesus, it cannot be a we thing. It has to be a I think. We cannot come to Jesus talking about what our friends said or what the preacher said or what our mama and our daddy once or said. We have to come to Jesus saying, this is a decision that I have made. God has given me a revelation of who you are, and I am not ashamed to declare it personally, privately, or publicly. Talk to me if you can. But many of us, when God reveals himself to us, we got to check with somebody to see if they agree with our decision before we make it. I wish somebody was listening to me. Some wives got to check with their husbands. Some husbands got to check with their wives. Some people got to check with their friends. Some people got to check with their parents, even though they are of accountable age and they are adults and they are able to make decisions for themselves. They are always checking with somebody. But I thank God that God will not accept you because somebody else agrees with you. God will take you when you are willing to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't care what my mama say. I don't care what my daddy says. I don't care what my husband and my wife say. I don't care what my friends say. Because for God I live and for God I'll die. Is there two people in here who can say for God I live and for God I die? That's why I like David. David was not a we kind of worshiper. David was a I kind of worshiper. David has seen the hands of God in his life and all that God had done for him. And David, who came as a shepherd boy watching his daddy Jesse's sheep, daddy didn't even have confidence in him. And David was plucked out of the midst of his brethren and was anointed king of Israel when nobody thought he was king material. David, who faced Goliath and everybody thought he was a fool, ready to be killed and fed to the dogs. But David was able to take one stone out of five and put it in a sling and say to Goliath, you have your Trinity, a sword, a shield, and a spear, but I have my Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And the Trinity that helped me to conquer the lion and the bear when I was minding my father's sheep is the same Trinity that will make you look like a lion and a bear to me. And Goliath was killed. I'm talking about a David who sinned against God when he took Uriah's wife Bathsheba and slept with her and then wrote a letter that caused Uriah to be killed. David, who God has given the authority to lead Israel during his weak times and his strong time, during his sinful and disobedient time and his praying and pleading time. David now is reflecting on God as an older man sitting on the balcony of his kingdom, and he said, I don't know who your God is, and to tell you the truth, I don't give a care who your God is and what you think about your God, but I want to tell you about my God. He says, Yahweh is my shepherd. David was so bullish, if you will. He was so selfish that all of the nouns that he used were personal pronouns. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. I wish somebody would help me preach my little sermon. In the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You don't hear David talking about no you or no we. That comes a time, my brothers and sisters, when you and I have to be selfish with God and bullish with God and say, I don't care what you think about him or who he is to you, but the Lord is my shepherd. Is there two people in here who's not ashamed to shout, he is mine? Shout, he's mine. I thank God that even though he is our God, I can declare that he is my God. Nicodemus coming out here trying to do a wee thing because he want to impress Jesus. You know, a wee. And I like Jesus. Says Adam, Jesus cuts to the chase. Jesus said, why are you talking all that wee stuff? You ain't impressing me. Let me tell you, bro. Verily. Verily. Now, Jesus don't waste words. When you hear Jesus repeating himself, he's trying to send a message. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, it's on now. It's on like Donkey Kong. Nicodemus, he's got an attitude now. Who is this uneducated Judean? He's going to tell me about being born again. He must not have been to anybody's school of any import, because the first thing he has missed is biology 101. How can a man be born when he is this tall, this big, this old? Your high school biology class should have told you that, Jesus. can he enter? You know, Nicodemus is trying to think he's pinning Jesus in the corner. Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? And I think Jesus just took a little breath, cleared his throat, and smiled at Nicodemus. And he says, Nick, see, you are talking about flesh stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's flesh stuff. Jesus said, I'm telling you about spiritual stuff. See, when you pull out your biology book, third edition, you're dealing with flesh stuff. But Nick, I'm not about to talk flesh to you today. I'm about to talk spiritual to you. He says in John chapter 3, verse 5, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's John 3, 5. The one I quoted before was John 3, 7. John 3, 6. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now it's getting deep now. Nicodemus starting. Born of water and of spirit. What you're talking about, Jesus? And then Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be shocked, Nick, that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, see, I can sympathize with Nicodemus because the scripture says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the flesh cannot really understand the things of the spirit. They don't appreciate it. And I'm paraphrasing. It is like foolishness to them. Because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. That's why sometimes doesn't bother me when people get mad at me when we are doing spiritual business. Because I recognize that they don't have a clue what's going on. See, when you are in the flesh, when you are in the world, you deal the way you deal. And it makes all of the sense in the world because you are dealing with flesh stuff. Oh, my brothers and sisters, but when you are dealing with spiritual stuff, the flesh cannot come in. The flesh will not be able to understand. You see, the flesh is always looking out for itself. The flesh is always looking out for their friends because in the flesh realm, when you wash my hand, I wash your hand. You as Donald Trump and the president of that country that I can't remember, Ukraine. Yeah, he'll tell you, you wash my hand, I wash your hand. The Latins say it like this, quid pro quo. See, that's flesh people. You invite me to your house for lunch, I invite you to my house for lunch. When I'm broke, can you lend me some money? When you are broke, I lend you some money. If your car looks like my car, nice, new, and expensive, then I'll invite you to ride in my car because you will invite me to ride in your car. But if you have a little jalopy, you know, a Pinto, doors falling out, I don't want to ride in yours because I'm not letting you ride in my expensive car. I'm talking flesh stuff. And the Bible says, Paul says, that the flesh is always warring with the spirit. Oh, but I thank God that there is a necessary rebirth so that you and I can. can die to the flesh and be born to the spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, all that college stuff you're talking doesn't amount to anything because you are in the flesh realm, and the flesh will burn, Nick. The flesh will come to an end, Nick. I'm trying to help you to transition from the flesh to the spirit, from the temporal to the eternal. I'm trying to help you see more than your eyes can see. I wish somebody was listening to me. He said, you must be born again. My brothers and sisters, this new birth that Jesus was talking about, it is God's way of transitioning us from the flesh realm into the spirit realm. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you been born again? No, I'm not asking you, are you the pastor of a church? I'm not asking you, are you an elder? I'm not asking you, are you a deacon? I'm not asking you, are you an usher? Are you a member? I'm not asking you, do you sing in a choir? My question to you today is, have you experienced the new birth? Because Nicodemus was a religious scholar, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he had no clue what the new birth was, because spiritual things are discerned spiritually. And my brothers and sisters, God has given us two rituals. How many rituals, everybody? Jesus Christ, before he died, he gave us two rituals that are intended to help us tangibly experience the process of the rebirth. The first ritual that God gave us is the ritual of baptism. The ritual of what, everybody? And the second ritual that God gave us, or Christ gave us, is the ritual of Holy Communion. What is the second ritual? The ritual of Holy Communion. God, through the person of Jesus, said, because you are on earth and to witness to mankind of your personal relationship with me, I need to give you a public ritual that will become a metaphor and a means of you witnessing and declaring to the world that you have decided to submit totally and unequivocally to me. What is the ritual, Jesus? He says, baptism. You know, baptism is the birthing process. But the decision to follow Jesus is the pregnancy process. I'm going to say that again because somebody missed it. See, before a baby is born, the mother carries that baby for at least 9 months, some little shorter, but at least 9 months, three trimesters. And then one day, the mother gives birth to the baby. Your decision to follow Jesus is that trimester period. You have to, when you are led by the Holy Ghost, make up your mind about repenting and submitting to the leading of the Holy Ghost and say, I want to be a child of God. But you cannot just say it to yourself. You have to also publicly declare it. And so when you say it, God has heard it. It's like a pregnancy has occurred. And you are praying and you are worshiping and you are studying, and that baby is growing. And then one day you say to the minister, I'm ready to let the whole world know publicly that I want to be baptized, that I am a child of God. Baptism, beloved, does not make you a child of God. Baptism is a public testimony and a declaration that I am, oh bless his name, a child of God. And the reason I want to make this clear is there are people who are thinking, I am not saved until I get in the water. Paul was asked by the jailer in Acts, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, here is your ticket to salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shall be saved. But Jesus said, after you have believed, this is just between me and you. But I want you to go ye therefore, Matthew 28, and preach the gospel. Be a witness. Let somebody know that you have believed. Don't be naked at night, having a nighttime relationship with Jesus under the shadow. In other words, don't shack up with God. See, many of us are used to shacking up. Come home, sleep with you. But I don't want nobody to know that we are together. That's why I'm not walking you to the altar. I like all of the benefits of what's done in the dark. But I'm not ready to make a decision to declare to the whole world, this man, this woman is mine. And my alone. And so they sneak. And most people want to sneak out with Jesus. But I stopped by to tell somebody today, Jesus ain't looking for no side squeeze. If you're going to be with Jesus, you got to be his main squeeze. I wish somebody would hear me. You got to let the world know, and that's what Nicodemus was doing. Nicodemus knew who Jesus was. He understood the prophecies. He believed in Jesus, but he wanted it to be only with he and Jesus. Have you had anybody come to you talk about between me and you? You got to be afraid of those kind of people. Between me and you. So Jesus said, you must be born again. And baptism, brothers and sisters, is the public declaration that you and I are sons and daughters of God. When we go into that water, Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and verse 4, know ye not that those of us who were baptized in Jesus were baptized with him in his death? And now we are risen with him as God's Spirit raised Jesus from the grave. So we have been risen to walk in the newness of life. Paul says, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 through 29, those who are in Christ are no longer Jews or Gentiles, male or female, bond or free, but we are all one. In Christ Jesus, we become collectively a part of the family of God. And I thank God, Elder Landry, that God don't have any stepchildren. We're all God's children. Paul says, and we are heirs according to the promise that was made to Abraham. There's now no more Jew who has certain privileges and Gentiles who don't have certain privileges. No, when we come through Jesus Christ, all of us, poor and rich, black and white, red and yellow, brown skin, short, tall, thin, heavy, good hair, kinky hair, money, no money. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a child of God. Now, don't lie. Don't say it if you're not. We're all God's children. And baptism is the symbol, the ritual that God has left to let us know that we are his children, to help us publicly declare that we are his children. The second ritual that Jesus left with us is Holy Communion. Is what, everybody? Holy Communion. Holy Communion, my brothers and sisters, tells us of what Christ has done for us. It reminds us of what Christ has done for us on the cross. But not only that, it reminds us of what Christ plans to do for us with the promise he has made to come and evacuate us from this sin-polluted world. And so Paul declares, as the Spirit gave him utterance in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, he said, I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night before he was crucified, took bread, and when he has broken it, said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After that, he says, he took the cup, and after he has supped, saying, verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. The key in that, my brothers and sisters, is until he comes. That's why I love communion. Because every time I take communion, I walk away saying, everything that the devil had against me last night, God has taken care of it. I can't get no help in here. Every time I take communion, I walk away saying, this is Jesus' body that was broken for me. And because God is just, he cannot punish two people for the same crime, especially if only one person committed it. I can't get no help up in here. So because Jesus has been punished for my sin, oh, bless his name, I don't have to be afraid of being punished. Is anybody listening to me? You just missed your shout cue right here. I said, because Jesus has taken the punishment for my sin, I don't have to look over my shoulder and worry about being punished for my sin. That's why I can walk with my head up and my chest up, knowing that it is finished, that Jesus nailed my sin to the cross. And yes, I still make mistakes. And yes, I still get off the beaten path. And every now and again, yes, I still think things that I shouldn't think and say stuff that I shouldn't say and go places that I shouldn't be going. But when I think about what God has done, what Jesus has done, I don't see how God can write me off. So I come back boldly to the throne of grace and get on my knees and said, God, when I think about all that I have done, I can't see how you can take me back. But when I think about what Jesus did on the cross, I can see how you can refuse to take me back. So Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, I whether shall I go? Is there two people in here who can shout, thank God for Jesus? Somebody shout, hallelujah. See, Christians don't know that. Most Christians don't understand the efficacy and the depth of what Christ has done for us. Walking around scared. I'm sorry. I should have said scared. Are you saved? Well, they start digging wells, you know. Well, when Jesus comes. No. If you are not saved, beloved, you got no hope when Jesus comes. Because Jesus is not coming to save you. Jesus is coming to evacuate, save people from this sin, polluted world. Preach, Wego. I'm trying to do it, Lord. I'm trying the best. See, you should know that you are a child of God. You should know whether you are saved. You should know that you've been born again. It's like me asking my grandson, Jaden, are you born? And Jaden said, well, when mommy takes me back to the hospital. Jaden has been born. He cannot be unborn. Oh, bless his name, Lord. See, this was not in my notes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just got a tweet from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You need to write that down. That just came in. To see, a lot of us think that we can be unborn. No, you cannot be unborn, but you can die. See, that's a difference. You can either die or you can live, but you cannot be unborn. Oh, bless you, God. And because I'm born again, there's nothing you can do to make me unborn. I'm a child of a king. Oh, I thank God there's one person in here that's happy about that. I'm a child of God. Yes. I messed up every now and again. Yes. Because I'm surrounded by sin. I'm in a sin-sick world. I'm in a polluted world. And so even though I'm born, I'm smelling sin. And I'm touching sin and I'm bumping into sin. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he said, I have two headstrong horses in me because of this sinful environment that I'm in. He said, the good that I want to do and the good that I know how to do, I don't find myself doing it. But the ugly that I don't want to do and the bad that I don't need to do is what I always find myself doing. Oh, who will deliver me from this death? And then Paul doesn't end there. He says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 25 and 26, thank God for Jesus Christ. And then he transitions into Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And he says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Somebody shout hallelujah.
That's how I don't have no problem walking around. People tell me, are you a child of God? Yes, I am. Jesus is my Savior. God is my Father. The Holy Ghost is my empowerer. I am a child of God. But you cursed somebody out last night. Yeah, that was the flesh. You winked at that beautiful lady that in your wife yesterday. Yes, that was the flesh. But I am a child of God. And one day he's gonna come back and take me out of here. And I will not be trapped in this flesh anymore. He's gonna take me to a place where I'm gonna be his child. Now are we, John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know, hallelujah, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up on me. God is still working on me. Got people running from the church instead of running to the church with your religious self, because they made one mistake. You don't write them off. They did something that you haven't been caught doing it yet, and you tear them down. When you should say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. He will save you. He will save you right now. He is able. He is able right now. Beloved, that's what we are supposed to be telling God's people when they mess up, when they fall off, when they go off the beaten path. Don't talk about them, but talk to them and say, there's a God who is able to bring you back in. Come to Jesus. And so, there is a necessity for rebirth. When we are born again, oh, bless his name, we make four declarations. The first declaration is, I am dead to sin in Christ. The second declaration is, I am risen and born to new life in Christ. The third declaration is, I have put on, oh bless his name, the righteousness of Christ. So that when God sees me, Elder Wilson, he doesn't see Tyron Wegar, but he sees Jesus. And the fourth is, I am submitted by the power of the Holy Ghost to live for Jesus. So somebody says, the way I used to talk, I don't talk like that anymore. The way I used to walk, I don't walk like that anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Okay, I know I'm not in your backyard. You're like me. We're struggling. I understand. Here's what our verse in the song is. The things I used to do, I don't do them that much anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go that often anymore. Do I have anybody in here? The way I used to talk, I don't talk like that much anymore. Thank God for Jesus, because God is still working on me. Is there anybody in here who's not ashamed to say, God is still working on me? Shout, he's working on me. There is a necessity for new birth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, my little granddaughter, Kaza, she's learning how to talk. And I remember when Kaza was born and we loved her and nurtured her. Then she started crawling. And then she realized that everybody else in the house were walking. And follow me, follow me, follow me. And so that meant crawling is not my destiny. Because nobody else is crawling around here but me. Listen to me. We weren't fussing at Kaza. Talking about, look at you, you can't even walk. You crawling. No, we were excited. Oh, did you see her crawl? She was crawling on her stomach. Now she's on her knees and she can go a few yards. We're all excited. And then one day, Sister Adams, Kaza held the chair and she tried to get up and her little feet was weak. And then she sat back down and nobody grabbed her and threw her out of the house and talk about, look at you, old lazy, no good thing. You can't even grab a chair and walk. No, we're all around her excited. Did you see Kaza? She grabbed the chair and stood up. We were all so excited. And then Kaza started taking little steps. And she'll take one step and we'll stand before her and say, come on, Kaza, come to daddy, come to grandpa. And then she'll sit on her butt. And we didn't walk away saying, this is a hopeless situation. This girl ain't got nothing. I don't even know why we have her in this house. No. We pick her up and we say, that's so good, Kaza. You are learning how to walk. And now Kaza's not only walking, but she's running. That's the same way we should treat people in the church of the living God. They're born again. They got to learn how to crawl. They got to learn how to hold stuff and stand up. They got to learn how to walk. And you know how they learn it? They learn it by watching us. So if they keep crawling, that's because somebody they're watching is crawling. If they keep getting up and sitting back down, that's because some of us old folk are getting up and sitting back down. Oh, but if you are born again and you are growing in Yeshua, then the world will look at you and say, I want to be like you because you are like Jesus. And so Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And I stopped by to tell somebody today, because I have experienced the necessary rebirth, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to come to Jesus in the morning, in the noon time, and at night time. I'm not ashamed to come to Jesus in the private space and in the public space. I am not ashamed to tell the world that Jesus is my Savior, that Jesus is my Redeemer, that Jesus is my advocate. I am not ashamed to say, yes, I have not made it yet, but forgetting the things that are behind me, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. Is there two people in here who don't mind getting up on their feet and say, I'm pressing, I'm pressing, I'm pressing. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm a child of God. I have received a new birth. Yes, Jesus loves me, and I love him too. If that's your testimony, get up on your feet and begin to give God some praise in this place. I've received the new birth. I'm a born again, bona fide child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And the God that I serve will give me the power to live for him. I just want to ask you, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Somebody shout, yes, he will.